Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah wa barakatuh. Welcome to your program, Heavenly Grief. My condolences to the Islamic nation on the martyrdom of Imam al-Hasan al-Mujtaba alayhi salam. We have with us Sheikh Muhammad, our dear guest, our esteemed lecturer in the Islamic seminaries at the holy city of Qum. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah, Sheikh.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullah. Thank you very much for having me. Alhamdulillah for this opportunity. Well, willing to talk more about the life and ethical manners of Imam Hassan sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Thank you very much, Sheikhna. Last time we spoke about how Imam Hassan alayhi salam, in the preface period of the peace treaty, a bit by his own ethical manners, while the other side, Muawiyah, was plotting and was making conspiracies. And continue where we left last. The conspiracy, Muawiyah was plotting conspiracy, Muslims came to Imam Hassan. 40,000 men pledged allegiance to Imam al-Hassan. They wanted him to be the new caliph. And then what happened?
Then after the allegiance that they pledged to Imam alayhi salam, you know, so many people supported Imam alayhi salam. Why didn't he rise to fight and take the caliphate there? But in the history, you find that Muawiyah was not just inactive, doing nothing. No, he was plotting, as you said, and making conspiracies so much to the extent that the commanders of the army, the so-called army of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, they betrayed Imam.
The Imam's own commanders betrayed the Imam.
Them, let alone the other soldiers. Like in the life of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, we find that over 15 times they wanted to assassinate Imam alayhi salam. Right, Imam Hassan alayhi salam. So in that time, what was the best decision to make? Imam alayhi salam continued to get to an agreement, to a peace treaty. Why? Some of the companions asked him, and he said, if I had started the war, my own army would have surrendered me to Muawiyah. And Imam alayhi salam, by saying this, is telling us that none of them are faithful to me. They are just saying, okay, let's go to the battle. We're going to support you. But none of them are real companions and real supporters of Imam alayhi salam. Like Amir al-Mu'minin, his father, the Holy Prophet told Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam, if you found 40 people, rise and battle and take your rightful position as succession, right? As a successor of me. But Amir al-Mu'minin alayhi salam did not find more than 5 or 6 people.
Like more Salman than five or six, yes. Among the whole Islamic
nation. Among the whole of
nation.
The Muhajir and
the
Ansar and Muhajirin, all of them. Right? And Imam Hassan alayhi salam, the same is just run about Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Nobody helped him. And they were so much unfaithful and treacherous people. Among the so-called friends and supporters of Imam alayhi salam, it was an evil situation, really. So the best thing to do, as Imam alayhi salam himself says, he says that the peace treaty that I made possible has been better for you than mimma talat alayhi shams. Again, it's like a metaphor, right? It was best for you and for Islam than anything else. Like the Prophet, peace be upon him, told about Imam Hassan and Imam Hussein alayhi salam, imaman qama aw qa'ada. They are imams, they should be followed, they are chosen of God, even if they sit, and by sitting it means they don't fight, they make an agreement and peace treaty, or if they stand up, and by standing up it means fighting,
rising,
right?
Revolting.
Rising. So what Imam Hassan alayhi salam did for that time was the best possible decision that could be made.
So we can say that the Imam's choice, of course, was the will of Allah.
Will of God, yes.
Was what was best for the Islamic nation. Why did some, unfortunately, some of the so-called followers of Imam al-Hassan stab him in the back and call him the humiliator of the believers, Muzillul Mu'mineen? Why did they do that?
These people that you talk about, they also existed in the time of Imam Hussein alayhi salam. Before the movement of Imam alayhi salam, they blamed Imam Hussein alayhi salam so much on his movement. Why do you go there? You will be killed.
So
why
now they're blaming Imam Hussein for rising.
Yes.
And in the past they were blaming Imam Hassan for not rising.
For not rising. These people, we call them in Islam al-Munafiqeen, right? These are the people that show that they are faithful and they believe in Islam, but in their hearts they have no faith and belief whatsoever.
Hypocrites.
To the Imam. Hypocrites, yes. So these were the people that also made Imam very, very sad and angry. Very sad.
Imam Hassan,
alayhi salam. In the time of Imam Hassan, you know, imagine that you don't have real supporters and real friends. You don't have. And the people who show themselves to be around you and to support you, in their hearts, all of them are corrupted.
There's something about that. Tell me about the assassination plot against Imam al-Hassan. Who conducted this assassination plot and they wounded Imam al-Hassan on his thighs? What happened?
Well, the assassination was ordered by Muawiyah.
Muawiyah, who he already had made, was this before the peace treaty or after the peace treaty?
This special assassination, I think, was before the peace treaty, but also more assassination happened up to the end, up to the last days of the life of Imam Hassan.
Even after the peace treaty?
Yes.
So Muawiyah had made a peace treaty, and he had tried to kill him before the peace treaty? After. Why make a peace treaty? It's amazing. I'm speechless.
Yes. For Muawiyah, rahmatullah alayhi, because he wanted to, he so much wanted to kind of rule over people, right? And as we will talk, inshallah, more about other Ahlul Bayt alayhim as-salam, because they have been very great figures in the Islamic nation. Those who wanted to unrighteously lead over people, they had no choice but...
Were they jealous? Is this what we were saying?
Absolutely, they were jealous. And they wanted to to kind of rule over people. They knew that this right of succession is for Ahlul Bayt, is for Imam Hassan alayhi salam.
Sheikh Muhammad is getting very interested, but we need to take a break, calm our nerves down, because I'm amazed and shocked by these facts. We will take a break and come back and continue.
Inshallah.
We will be back at a short break. Please don't go anywhere. We will continue at your program, Heavenly Grief. Welcome back to your program, Heavenly Grief. We were talking about how these oppressors, like Muawiyah, tried to take the caliphate from Imam Hassan, even though it was eligibly his, righteously it was his, and why they had this belief that they could, had to, and that the caliphate was theirs. Sheikh Muhammad, welcome back. Please continue where we left.
Thank you very much. So we talked about the fact that those people who wanted to rule over people oppressively and forcefully, in the Islamic nation, since the figure of Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam was always very great, and people were willing and acting towards the likes of Ahlul Bayt, means people were attracted to Ahlul Bayt. This is nothing to deny. For example, in the history, we read that Imam Hassan alayhi salam, in a lot of ways, the alleys that Imam Hassan alayhi salam, you know, was in, a lot of people would come into the alley to look at Imam Hassan alayhi salam, because he was very beautiful and also having very great manners and characteristics. So the alley would become crowded, and it would be blocked. The way would be blocked. Right?
So many people would
many
come.
Many people were attracted to Ahlul Bayt alayhi salam. There are many narrations talking about that fact. Because of that, those who wanted to oppressively usurp the caliphate and rule over people, they had to kind of deal with the figure of Ahlul Bayt. They had to deal with them. Either they killed Ahlul Bayt or they conspired against Ahlul Bayt, because this was a block. This was something that didn't let them do whatever they wanted. So Imam Hassan alayhi salam made this treaty, and he preserved Islam. He preserved the life of the believers. Since previously we were talking about the ethical values of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, I would like to continue what we left off from that discussion, which We talked about the humbleness of Imam Hassan alayhi salam, about the different pilgrimages to Hajj they Imam Hassan alayhi salam did, 20 or 25 barefooted, to show the God that I am your servant and I am humble against towards you. Secondly, Imam alayhi salam would sit next to the servants.
He wouldn't separate himself.
No, he wouldn't
at the foot table
himself.
Or at the floor, wherever they sat, he would sit with them.
For instance, in one narration we have that Imam alayhi salam was going through the city on his horse, and then Imam alayhi salam came across a poor person that was eating just a piece of bread. And that person told Imam alayhi salam, would you like some? Do you want to eat with me? Imam alayhi salam came down, got off the horse, and said, God doesn't like proud people. So Imam alayhi salam didn't ignore him and go, oh, you are a poor person, you are a servant, I don't pay attention to you. No, Imam alayhi salam got off the horse and sat next to him and ate with him. The next ethical importance in the life of Imam alayhi salam is the generosity that Imam alayhi salam showed. And he was famous because of it.
Yeah.
To the extent that in the history we read two or three times Imam alayhi salam divided all of his belongings among the poor.
He gave all his fortune. All
of
his,
anything that he has, all of the fortune, among the poor. And this is something astonishing to think about. Even the shoes, Imam alayhi salam, everything that Imam alayhi salam had, gave to people to show as a symbol, as a sign of this generosity. Because being generous is one of the roots, one of the reasons and pillars of having other ethical and important virtues. If you want to be even brave, if you want to have good virtues in your heart, you should be generous first. Mm-hmm. And this generosity is very important even in the words of Holy Prophet, peace be upon him. And the third thing is the patience of Imam alayhi salam. As the Holy Prophet has pictured for us and has portrayed, the patience in comparison to the other virtues is like the head in comparison to the body, right? Patience is very important. A person from Syria, a Syrian man, came to Imam alayhi salam, and at the sight of Imam alayhi salam, just stood and started cursing.
Cursing the Imam?
Imam Hassan alayhi salam. Out of nothing. So he just told Imam whatever he wanted to tell. After he finished, Imam alayhi salam told him, I think you are a person out. You are just an outsider. You have recently come to this city.
You're a foreigner.
A foreigner. You don't know here. If you are hungry and you want food, I can give you food. If you want water and thirsty, I can provide that for you. If you don't have any place.
You offered him everything.
If you don't have a place, if you don't have clothing, anything, I can provide that for you. You are not from this city. Don't you have a place? Come in my house.
And I will take care of you.
Yes, and I'll take care of you. You think about this. How can a human being act this generously?
And have patience. And be submissive. And tolerate all these hypocrites that he lived among. And tolerate all this leading to his martyrdom. Indeed, we are dealing, and clearly we are dealing with a very great personality. But again, we're talking about the household of the messenger himself. So this is nothing less to expect from him.
Yes.
We thank our dear guest, our esteemed lecturer, Sheikh Muhammad from the Islamic Seminaries
thank
at Qom.
Thank you for having
me. Fi amanillah.